Welcome to the July 4th, 2014 Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Everybody, I am Addison Berry, your hostess for today's podcast, and I have with me three folks who are from the land of Europe, where I live as well, and we're going to talk about something happening in Europe. Dun, dun, dun. So, but before we get into that, let me introduce who I am here with. I have Steve Parks.
Good afternoon.
And then Pedro Cambra.
Hello.
And Michael Schmidt.
Hello, everybody.
And so the reason that I have these guys on the podcast today is because they are track chairs for DrupalCon Amsterdam. And we thought with the selections happening and about to be announced soon, that it would be a good opportunity to actually talk about what that process is about. A lot of it's sort of like a magic black box. And sessions appear, and we have a DrupalCon, and people present things. So we wanted to take a look, step back, and how is this actually, how does this whole process happen? There are actual people involved in it, believe it or not, and it's quite a lot of work. So we're going to talk about that today. Before I get to that, as normal, I got some news and eventy things. On the video front for Drupalize Me, this week we just started the Managing Publishing Workflows series, which is taken from the Using Drupal book, and basically it's about how to use Workbench module with Workbench access and moderation and stuff like that. And then next week, actually, all of the trainers for Drupalize Me are getting together in Philly, and we're going to be doing a bunch of recording to finish up a whole bunch of series that we have in the work. And so what we have in the pipeline for this summer so far is field API, token and token API stuff, advanced panels, sort of continuing on from the free intro series that Jen Lampton has done, working with C tools, multilingual websites, and then also how to use context and Bean. So there's a ton of material coming. And wow, there are very loud children in the courtyard outside my window. So I don't know if anybody can hear that, but that's what's going on. The kids are having a lot of fun in the wonderful weather here in Copenhagen. Events. We have a whole bunch of events stuff coming up. Actually, this weekend through the 6th, through July 6th, is NodeConf, which is happening in California, Walter Creek Ranch. So it's like cabins and camping and stuff is going on. And Blake Hall and Jared Bittner from Lullabot are there at that event, having an awesome time. I've heard wonderful things about NodeConf. And then we have the Front End Design Conference, which is happening in, well, I guess next weekend. So that's in St. Petersburg, Florida, July 11th and 12th. Mike Herschel, who's another Lullabot who lives down in Florida, is going to be going to that one. Neither of those are Drupal events, but they are very cool web events. So, yeah. So if you happen to be going there or you're thinking about it, say hi to the bots that are around. We've also got DrupalCorn, which is the Drupal camp in Iowa. Ankeny. Don't know how to say it, but it's in Iowa. It's happening July 17th through 20th, and we are giving away a Drupalize Me membership for that one. And then, of course, the big event that is on the radar and the topic of this podcast is DrupalCon Amsterdam, which is happening the end of September, beginning of October. So the official dates are September 29th through October 3rd. The sessions are September 30th through October 2nd. And on the Monday is we have the workshops, so you can sign up for a workshop. The business summit is happening. And then we also have the Community Summit, which is my little pet project that is near and dear to me. And the Community Summit is where we get together and actually sprint on community and people things instead of code. And that's happening on the Monday. It's free to attend. So even if you're not going to DrupalCon, you can show up for that. But you have to register. So go to the DrupalCon Amsterdam site and go to the Community Summit page. and register. The reason you need to register is because you get a free lunch, and we need to make sure we have enough food for everyone. So please register so that we can keep that stuff straight. It's proven challenging in the past, shall we say, when people show up but don't register. We want you to show up, but please register. And then additionally, there's also, so on Friday is sort of the classic sprint day at DrupalCon. Everybody gets together and just works on everything. There's core mentoring, so there are actually mentors to help you get up to speed and help you dig into issues and things like that. And then around that, we have extended sprints. So before and after, the weekends before and after, there are extended sprints that are going on all kinds of different topics. There's lots of different groups getting together for different things. And again, like, that's free. That's just, you know, just show up and work with people on things. But it would, again, be really good if you would sign up. Things tend to be broken up by, like, what are you going to be working on? It's not as much of a, you know, I'm totally new and I don't know kind of a thing, and just show up. It's really best to have, like, a team or a topic that you want to be working on. And they have sign-up sheets for the extended sprints before and after so that you can find the group that you're with and understand who else is going to those events and that kind of a thing. So those are sort of additional things that people tend to, like, not be aware of or forget, and it's also really helpful if you sign up for them. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned those. And then additionally, one last thing is that actually the Friday before DrupalCon, so September 26th, is a Drupal training day. It's a Dutch Drupal training day for the Dutch community. Are pulling this together as a free training day event, particularly targeting people who are, like, students or people who are looking for a job or looking for a career change and want to figure out what is this Drupal thing and is it worth something them to pursue. So that's going on Friday 26th. So if you are in the Netherlands, and I do believe it will be in Dutch, the one part that will definitely not be in Dutch, though, is the keynote, because I'm going to be keynoting, and I don't speak Dutch. I speak some Danish, totally different from Dutch. I know they both begin with D, and it's very confusing, but no. But I will be doing the keynote, and so I'm really looking forward to that. So if you want to come hang out, and I'll be hanging out the weekend in Amsterdam, just kind of kicking about a bit. So with all of that stuff said, DrupalCon Amsterdam, the meat of the thing is those 3 days in the middle where we actually have all the sessions that are going on. And the question is, how do those things come to exist? So I'm going to hand this over to our track chairs here and start off with the question of just like an overview of how does the session selection process actually work? Like, how do we get the sessions in the schedule?
Well, perhaps if I kick off on that, Addy. The first thing to say is I was previously track chair at DrupalCon Croydon. And the first thing to mention is perhaps how the process has evolved, because the Drupal Association is very keen to make sure that things are more transparent and fair in the way that sessions are selected, but also that the best presentations are bubbling up. So there's a really good quality of presentation at DrupalCon at the same time as trying to encourage new talent through. So there's quite a lot to balance there. So they've put in place a process that helps us as track chairs to achieve that. So what they now have is that there's a global track chair and there's a local track chair. So, for example, for the business track for Amsterdam, I'm the local track chair, but I'm backed up by a global track chair who's previously been a local track chair. So they've got the experience and they've worked on this kind of thing before. In this case, that's Jana, who's a Finnish guy, and he was previously the track chair for the business track at PrageCon. So there's two people that kind of steer each track. And they first of all figure out a description for the track. That's what they're trying to achieve and the kind of sessions that they want to be submitted. And different tracks may want to be steering the conversation in certain ways. So, for example, the front-end track may want to focus on particular technologies or particular kinds of evolution in that area. But in the business track, what we did was we ran a survey so that we could try and get the input from the community, those that run Drupal agencies, those that are client-side and use a Drupal agency. And we got a lot of feedback from them that helped us come up with this kind of track description, which was to set up, you know, the kind of sessions that we want to be submitted.
Gotcha. So it's not just like, well, it is still, I guess, essentially a free-for-all, but you guys are trying to like actually kind of pick a cohesive kind of theme that you want to explore through the sessions.
Exactly, yeah. So it's one of the things that not a lot of people know, actually, that in the first part, we think a lot about our topic for our track. So it's not only that we select 13 sessions that look really interesting. We try to bring something together which can be interesting for the people to see after each other, to like when they have seen that session, there could be a follow-up session for that. Mm-hmm. So and that happens in the track description. And also one thing is that because of we really want to make sure that we have really good sessions, we not only hope for the submitted sessions, we while the session submission opens, we already contact speakers and ask them if they're interested in speaking at DrupalCon Amsterdam. Not specifically that we don't choose them in advance, so they still go through the normal process of rating mm-hmm. and stuff, so they're not featured speakers as we used to have them. They're more invited speakers. But we talk with them, like figuring out like what could they talk about, what are we interested in, and what could fill our track really interestingly. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen in this year is that most of the track had like all the tracks have 13 sessions.
Okay.
And most of them all had like previous interested speakers of 5 and 6. So there's still a lot of chance that normal people that just submit a session come in. And honestly, it also happened that all the submitted sessions are so interesting that we sometimes even had to kick out some of the invited speakers. So it's no featuring at all as it used to be. But we try to find a really good balance of different topics inside, of different knowledge. For the speakers, and that's why we talk to people in advance.
Yeah, and even we had a situation when we were writing the descriptions and meeting to discuss this, and we had two new tracks coming up, and we'll have a case studies track and a new PHP track, and that was discussed in the definition of other tracks.
Exactly, yeah, because we saw during writing the description that one big part was really left out, which was case studies. And especially Steve and me, we both wanted to have some case studies in, but we didn't know if they more fit into site building, mm-hmm. which is the track that I chair, or if it fits in business. So together with the Drupal Association, we figured out that we actually can do another track, and that was case studies, and the other topic was PHP. So so we have these two mini tracks which share 13 sessions during the whole con.
Yeah, as the Drupal world is moving off the island, and that's from Larry's term. Larry is on the head of the PHP track. We will have a small PHP dedicated sessions for that doesn't have anything to do with Drupal necessarily, but on the broad PHP world.
So I imagine there's probably going to be some symphony stuff in there.
There will be. I yeah.
I'll just bet some money on that. So how much, like, I'm curious, like, how much time does this end up taking? I mean, so you open the session selection and people send stuff in, but I'm sure, like, and I'm sure some people are good and submit them early, but I'm imagining that most of them come in the last, like, 2 hours that the session submissions are open. And then you have this, like, pile of stuff to, like, go through. Like, how does that, I mean, how does that work? How many people, I guess, here's my question. For each track, how many people are actually reviewing all of these submissions that are coming in?
Let's, if I sort of answer that from a business track point of view, we had about 90 submissions on the business track. And each of us, there's two of us who are doing the reviewing, but each of us reviews all of the submitted sessions. We do a first pass, and what we're doing on the first pass is we're identifying, do we have any conflict of interest? So, for example, is the speaker that's proposing this one of our colleagues, or is it from a client, or is there some kind of connection that could be seen to have a conflict of interest? We flagged that up very clearly, and then we got the DA to provide a third person who would who would rate this with the other remaining person on the track. So there was always the person who had a conflict of interest played no part in rating any session they had a conflict of interest with. So then we went through and we scored in the first pass. We scored the kind of, did the session meet kind of what we were looking for from the track? Did it provide something substantial? Would it be of interest to people attending the track? But then also we're making judgments about quality of speaker, because DrupalCon is a very big event, and it's important that it's not people's first time doing public speaking at all. Mm-hmm. So it's a, we really want to encourage people to speak at Drupal camps first, and then as much as possible we watch Drupal camp videos. So that, you know, analysis process is quite involved. We do actually get out there and we Google and we look for people's Drupal camp presentations if they haven't provided the links. And we're watching those presentations and making judgments about kind of the quality of the presentation and so on. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to consider, and it does take a huge amount of time. It was a bit of a snag because the timing, with the American conference now being so late in the year and the European one being in September, mm-hmm. The deadline, I don't know if you noticed, Addy, but the deadline for submitting sessions was the week after DrupalCon.
Oh, I noticed.
So what that meant is we all get back and, you know, have that just getting back into our normal daily work.
Yeah.
And then immediately, you know, within 7 days, we're then having to review 90 sessions in this level of depth. So it was tough from a time point of view. But we got it all done within the deadline. Stephanie was very good at shepherding us. I'm sure the others will agree.
Yes.
Cracking the whip.
She's brilliant at that. So she got us all doing things on time, even though that was pretty tough.
Mm. And I mean, that not only happens like after the session submission deadline, like while people already starting to submitting, we directly look at them. We maybe not rate them yet, but we try to figure out about the speaker, about his history and stuff. So actually, it would help us a lot if people start submitting stuff earlier and not like in the last 2 hours. But
gives them a better chance as well.
We need to like provide some sort of incentive for early submission or something, like an early bird special on tickets. But you know, some kind of like incentive. I don't know how you would do that, but I mean, understand that that's frustrating.
I mean, honestly, it's just that the chances are probably higher when you submit it earlier, because the treasurer has time to review it. Mm-hmm. He has more time to review you as a person, to maybe find maybe that video, which is really interesting, that you didn't provide in the links or so. So I think we would really encourage everybody to submit as early as possible. And also, a lot of the descriptions are not really good. So with just like writing something, sleeping over it, and then the next day editing it again, or maybe ask some colleagues, that also makes it much better. And I don't believe that a lot of people get their track description reviewed when they submit them 2 hours before the deadline.
Yeah.
There was actually an example of someone who submitted quite early to the business track, and they then followed up with an email and said, look, I've submitted this, but I want to check because I want to make sure it fits what you found with the survey and so on. And because it was early, I had the time to do a first review, and I made some suggestions for changes. And that then they took that on board and went a bit further, and it made a much stronger session. And I think it was picked as a result of being submitted early and having that chance for feedback.
Exactly. And another thing that wasn't mentioned yet is that we also move tracks, or we move sessions between tracks.
Mm.
So a lot of sessions, it's not super clear, like in which of the tracks actually work. So we got a lot of mails of people asking about, like, is it the right track or not? So that's mm-hmm. one thing already in the beginning. And also, we still move them after session deadline. So so even though you're maybe not fully sure that the track is in the correct, that your session is in the current track, no worries, we still look at them. And that's why we actually have meetings with the whole Tractor team every week to discuss stuff like that. So we had a ton of sessions from Pedro from his track. Maybe you can tell us about that.
We had a record in coding and development track. We had 128 submissions this year. And I think we end up moving around 35 or more to other tracks, which probably they will have more opportunities in other tracks and in content development. So we evaluate every single thing of them, and move it off the track. So it's currently reviewed in the right context.
Right. Yes, and so there's a constant rating or reviewing happening, and then at 1 week we actually do the rating, and there we all, each track needs 13 top sessions, which is not something that takes really easy. So in my case, I rated myself with a rating system from 1 to 5, and my co-track chair, so my global foresight building, he also went through with the same rating system, and we obviously came out with a lot of session. And honestly, that's really hard because we, like, while you're reading through the session, it's really cool. Like, you think, like, oh, that session is interesting. Oh, yes, I would like to see that. And, well, that we could select, but maybe we change that and that and that. And you go through all the sessions you read. I had 85. I read all of them, and then you go back to your Google Docs and you sort them by ranking, and you realize that most of the sessions you have to kick out because there are only 13. So I had 85 and I had to select 13. So it's so hard. You see so many really good sessions, but they can't make it in.
Yeah.
So that's a really hard process, and you feel really bad for the people that you have to tell them, it was really good, but I'm sorry, we can't do it. Anyway, so after we both track chairs rated them, we had another 1 hour meeting only between me and my track chair, which was Ivo, and we discussed tracks again, or the sessions again. Because what we wanted is that to also only cover one topic once, because maybe we had similar topics by two sessions, which were already really interesting. But we said, no, we want to also give another topic a chance. So we had the case to have really two really interesting editor usability. So to make it easier for the editor to edit content, change content and stuff. But we said, okay, we can only choose one of them because we want to give that other topic, which was, I don't remember, maybe it was multilingual or so. We also want to give that a bit a position inside of the track, in our track. So it's a lot of battling again and discussing and arguing with track chairs why it should be really good. And, you know, I've seen that speaker once before, he was really good, but mine is also really good. It's like it's a lot of involvement there, and it gets a bit heated. But out of all of that, we have 13 sessions and actually two backups.
Yeah, and something that happened before that is that we with the in the meeting with the local and the global chairs, we share tips and how this rating and selection was made by others in the past. So we have a very clear recommendations on how to do it and what works and what doesn't. For example, the coding and development track has a standard deviation column, so we can discuss
of
the
course
different
it does.
The different I mean, maybe someone rate very, very high and someone didn't rate that high per session. We discussed those in.
I heard the business track has had a really fancy rating system.
Well, I wouldn't describe it as fancy, but we each rated each session. Well, first of all, we just said, is this session aiming towards the theme that we developed for the track that was based out of the survey? So, you know, that theme was based on what the audience for the track wants to hear. So that was just a simple yes, no, and it didn't feed into the score, it just informed our scoring. Then there was, is there a conflict of interest? That was simple yes or no, and didn't feed into the scoring, was just for information. Then each of the track chairs rated all the sessions from 1 to 5, but then also we had a speaker quality rating, and that's where we looked to see if there was evidence that the speaker was good. So, you know, had they provided a link to a video, or could we easily find a video of them speaking? And did that show that they had prepared, they'd presented in a way that was well prepared, that was a good quality of presentation, it was a clear message, easy to understand, good level of knowledge that was conveyed. And then we also looked at the speaker ratings from previous conferences. So we had the ratings from Prague and from Austin, and we could even delve back further if we needed to. And we looked at the ratings and reviews that actual attendees of the sessions had given. And by the way, anyone listening to this podcast, that's a really important part of how you can contribute to DrupalCon being great in the future, is when you attend a session at DrupalCon, do go online and rank it and rate it afterwards. Because all of us as track chairs, we read all of those, and that really helps influence whether speakers get to come back, or we work with them and just nurture them a little bit before they come back. And so it's a really important part of making DrupalCon great. So yes, we basically gave them a bump up if they had had proven good speaking experience.
Do you guys, what is it a good thing or a bad thing that someone has presented the exact presentation before in either a camp or in particular a con? Like if someone just did the same presentation in Austin and now they want to do it in Amsterdam, is that good or bad?
For a camp, it's definitely good because we are searching for high quality sessions. And I think you can only do a session really good if you already done it before. Mm-hmm. So we definitely encourage people to go to camps and give the sessions there and then submit them to cons, because that's what we as detractors are looking for, to find good sessions. And we only can do that when we actually saw it before. Of course, there are all the really great speakers where we already know that they will do a really good job in presenting a session they never done before. But that's a really small percentage. These are like the really big one, or the really good speakers. But if you are as a normal Drupal person that are interested, we definitely suggest to give your session at a camp, figure out if the people like it, adapt it, maybe do it again with your friends, do it in your local Drupal user group. So allow the session to evolve and be better and then bring it to us. And then the chances are much higher to get selected.
In the case of the Drupal cons, I think that the norm this year was not to... if the session hasn't changed a lot, which was the case for some of them, it's not very recommended to have it in two consecutive cons.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing, because it's recorded for 6 months before.
Exactly.
But if you prove that it changed, your session evolves. There's new stuff. There's things that to consider that are new. That definitely is a good sign.
Right. Cool. And so also, like, just speaking in terms of like sessions and picking people. So each track is picking their sessions, and there are a lot of people out there who submit, like, kind of do a shotgun thing where they'll submit like four sessions and in the hopes of getting one of them in or something like that. And does that happen? I'm assuming that it does. And in that instance, what if you, like, do you guys have limits in terms of the number of sessions that one person can do, or are you letting people do as many as they can as long as they're good?
Yeah, we try and say that each person should only give one main session themselves, unless there are specific exceptions. So Core Conversations is regarded as a bit of a different track, and people may appear on that as well as having presented elsewhere. Mm. But we try not to kind of overuse people unless there's very good specific reasons. We don't count panels, so someone could present and then also appear on a panel. But yeah, it tends to be trying to keep that low, to just spread the chances around and spread the diversity of voices around the community. But we would encourage people to submit more than one session. We do see people submit two, three, mm-hmm. or even four sessions, because, you know, if they've got these presentations available. So, for example, to give an example, there's one person I know who's got two presentations that they've given before at various camps and cons, and they'd submitted those because they've got those ready, but then also submitted a new idea they had for a presentation. And actually, that was the best and the most interesting because it was the fresher idea. Now, if they were only submitting one, they'd have probably submitted the easy option of something they've done before. Right. But actually, the one that got chosen was the new, fresher idea. So, yeah, it is worth submitting a few options. But then, yeah, the track chairs coordinate across tracks. So once we've chosen sessions in our track, we then liaise with the other track chairs, and we have a really long
call. Oh, yes.
Which
oh, yes.
is full of excitement, as I'm sure you can imagine, Eddie. I drank a number of cups of tea during that call. And then we run through all the sessions we want to select, and we look for, does this conflict? Is this person appearing too many times, or is that theme appearing too many times?
Right. So in the vein of so having these big calls and all these track chairs, one thing also I'm curious about, and in terms of both just curiosity, but also for other people who actually want to help with this, like how are the track chairs chosen? Like, how did you guys end up in the position that you are in for this con, and what will happen for the next con, say in LA?
I brought a lot of chocolate to Stephanie. No. It has nothing with bribing included or so. It's just the Drupal Association searches for, or the organizers of the DrupalCon, which mostly consists of Drupal Association, from a global standpoint, search for people which are more local. So in this case, there are a lot of Europeans. Track chairs in there. That's why we also are three Europeans right now. Mm-hmm. And we just search for people which are known of their knowledge of the topics. Mm-hmm. So gotcha. So people that a bit stand out of the community or maybe gave already sessions about that topic. So it's not a specific process. It's a lot of knowing mm-hmm. other people, and we also suggested each other people. So like at the beginning, we had one person missing for core conversations. So Stephanie specifically asked us, like, do you know somebody inside mm-hmm. of the Drupal of the whole Drupal community that could be interested? So and then she reaches out to them and asks. So it's no process that you can apply for. But if you are interested, I would definitely say talk to the people, talk to us, talk to Stephanie in Amsterdam or in the next cons and tell that. It's specifically searched, that's why we're called local track chairs. So the idea is that we first give it to the local people in a city. So Los Angeles, for example, there is already a lot of stuff happening with the locals from there that they are mm-hmm. interested in doing the track chairs.
Right. Yeah. And I guess it also just makes sense. I mean, if you're really passionate about a topic or a track and you want to be involved in this process, then you should actually get involved in the process through speaking and helping, like in just terms of like being at the con, being at those conversations, you know, showing up at BOFs, like doing those things and actually being involved in the things you're interested in working on, as is kind of just generally typical in Drupal. You kind of just need to show up and start doing things and being part of the conversations if you want to actually be able to have that influence. You know, that's kind of how it works.
Exactly, yeah, and that's what we want to keep. But with having a global track chair, we still have a person in there that helps the local track chairs to guide them through the process, helping rating and all these things, that it is not fully done by people which do not have done it any time before.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'd posted on Twitter a couple questions, so I want to jump to the questions that we got in from Twitter. And this is actually sort of related. The two tweets that we have here from Paul Johnson and Lewis Nyman are actually related, and we're sort of part of the same thread. And it kind of goes back to that whole camps, and we talked about presenting at camps is really good as prep for submitting for DrupalCon. So I'm just going to read the tweets, and then you guys can discuss amongst yourselves. So are track chairs exploiting opportunities to introduce less known speakers from Drupal camps to present at DrupalCon, like specifically looking at those people who aren't big names, I guess. And then Lewis said, there could be a more formal process to make the step from camp to con. How can they help build and show experience? You know, basically, how do people jump from presenting at camps into cons? Any thoughts mm-hmm. on those?
Yeah, I mean, though Lewis is one of the track chairs itself, actually. He's the front-end track chair, and I think I totally agree with him. So we try, I mean, as I said, we review the sessions based if they're already given before, not only, but that's one of the criteria. So we definitely are interested in Drupal camps. And I myself, when I knew that I will be track chair for site building in Amsterdam, I definitely, when I went to a camp, I was more like looking mm-hmm. out for that. So mm-hmm. I was going more to the site building sessions at the camps to figure out if there's maybe somebody which is interested, then you can also talk to them. So I think in my case, yes, that happens. Maybe the other two, Steve, Pedro?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you present in a camp, you never know who is in the audience, right? So, definitely when you are a track chair and you're looking for sessions and you go to a camp and you see someone that has a very good content and a good presentation, probably you'll get approached and invited to present. Or if you submit the session, you will get better ratings probably.
Yeah, I was actively looking for some kind of fresh blood for the business track and some fresh ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant taking a bit of a risk with some new speakers. But you kind of want to ensure the quality is there. So if they'd mentioned that they'd presented at DrupalCamp, for example, a lot of DrupalCamps in Europe don't yet video their sessions. So what I had to do was contact, you know, in a lot of cases, I knew the organizers of the DrupalCamps, so I'd actively contact them and just check out the speakers and how the presentation went down. So we are making efforts to try and find out about speakers, because otherwise it's all too easy, being people who are quite involved in the Drupal community, to just say, oh, I know so-and-so, they'll be good, I'll use them. And you end up with the same kind of people again and again, and we want to keep DrupalCon fresh and moving forward.
Yeah, and bringing more people forward, you know, into those more prominent positions and being able to share their ideas. You know, it, not to say that people who've been speaking for a long time, like myself, are, you know, done, but there is an element of being of bringing fresh blood, not just, you know, in terms of the ideas themselves, but into the community in terms of the faces and the energy. Like that's how we keep things moving is to help bring those people forward instead of continually, you know, passing them by. Although I also understand, like, that's really difficult to do when you have so few sessions that you can select. And so the amount of work. And so I guess it kind of does come back again to, you know, speaking at a Drupal camp is definitely going to increase your chances of being accepted at a DrupalCon. And
yeah,
making sure that, like, that is out there. I mean, like, letting people know I did speak at the camp and there's a video of it, or at least, like, you know, or here are, you know, all of the slides that I have from it, and here are my slide notes. You know, this is how I approached actually presenting it at the camp, if there's no recording or something like that, to help give people a better sense. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I think that's one of the big thing that when I was reading through my 85 track descriptions, sometimes I really thought, like, did this person really think that actually a person is reading that? Because because a lot of times it's like, you have to understand, we have 85 sessions. It's a long process. So the first thing that we read is the track description.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's not the only thing. But with that, you already make us interested. So I think a good track description is the one big tip that I will give everybody, is like, write a good one, let it review by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And also try to come into a mind of a track chair, which already maybe have read 85 or 84 other session descriptions. So make it interesting, make it not too long, make it not, make, I can't give you an amount of numbers or words, but just make it interesting, not too long, and really tell what you will talk about. Don't write actually what you will talk, more write what you will talk about.
Yeah.
And if that is interesting, we dig deeper. We go, and as Steve mentioned, we watch videos, we ask other conferences, organizers if it was interesting and so. But the track description starts, is the first thing, and so really do that.
Yeah. Get someone to review your descriptions. I didn't get anybody to review my description, but... But I did edit it multiple times.
Not only in Drupal camps. I mean, we have in the coding and development, I know front end do the same, and definitely in the PHP track, we have a ton of people coming from outside the Drupal community for Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. There are other events, technology, web technology events out there that are interesting for Drupal, and specifically Drupal 8 and then all the new stuff that's coming up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and as well, I mean, like, it's not, and sometimes it's actually hard to find you, meaning the writer of the description, online. So the more links that you provide us to yourself, the more easy it makes it for us, and the less likely we actually jump to the next session. So it's also, as Steve said, it's like, write provide us with links to videos if you have some, with slides. Like, the more information we have, don't overfill us, because that's also not nice, but really choose the information that you think gives a best impression about you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's move towards wrapping this up. But in the main thing that's still left out there, that's the mystery right now, is, so session selection has been going on and is done, and ish? When what's the scene over the next week or two here? Everybody's waiting with bated breath. So what got selected?
So on this Monday, so as you said, we have today the 4th of July. Congratulations, US, by the way.
I don't know about that as a British person.
I was going to say,
dissenting voice. We'll be back.
So on Monday, all the people that their session got chosen got a mail. So they got a mail that they got selected, and now we actually keep the whole thing a bit secure to provide the speakers actually return and say, yes, I will join I will present. Because sometimes, you know, we either have people that had like injuries or maybe left their job, or it's just a bit of time between session submission and actual selection. So we give them a week. And on Tuesday, the 8th of July, we actually will put the sessions on the website. And then also everybody that unfortunately got not selected will know about that. But I have to say, we selected 90 sessions and we have 510 submissions.
Wow.
So it's a lot. So, and I can tell for myself, if I could, I could fill the whole DrupalCon with SiteBuilding.
Totally.
So great sessions, and I would totally stand behind that everybody will find something for interesting. But there are other tracks, and we only have a limited amount. So we can, and we're really sorry, it's nothing against you personally, but we really have to so that I can find a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, everybody, you're going to know what the sessions are next Tuesday, July 8th. Keep refreshing the page. Don't take the site down.
And Addy as well, if I can just encourage people to go to the DrupalCon Amsterdam website, which is amsterdam2014.drupal.org, because there's a news section there, and we as track chairs blog from time to time with updates about what's happening and what our thinking is and kind of building up towards the conference. So do take a look at that section there.
Cool. Awesome. Does anybody else have any last parting thoughts or comments?
I have one small thing, and that's a question of, if you did not get selected but you wonder why, there will be a process. I can't tell you exactly how it works, but I think in the mail that you will get, there is it is mentioned how that works. So if you're interested in getting feedback from the track chairs, we can provide you that. We can tell you what we think or why your session maybe did not get selected. Because we are interested in also helping these people in writing better track description, writing better sessions, because there will be a next European DrupalCon. There will be a lot of camps where there are other possibilities to speak. So if you're really interested, use whatever is written in that mail. I guess it's just you have to reply, I think, and we will take our time and reply to you. We're already sorry that we can't do that in a day, because I guess there will be a lot of people asking that, but I can tell that we all take the time to read through them and get back feedback to you.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I just want to say thanks to you guys, because this is a kind of a monumental task that's probably sucked a lot of your life away in the last few months. And it's the kind of thing that people don't really know about or pay attention to. You know, it's just some gremlins back there make things, and then there's a schedule on the site. So I really, really appreciate the time and the struggle and the thought that you guys put into this to make DrupalCon awesome.
And I mean, we will all be in DrupalCon Amsterdam. So if you see us, and if you are out in the night or whatever in the evening, and buy us a beer, buy us.
Yes, buy them beer.
Or if the track chair doesn't like beer, buy them tea. But yeah, it is a lot of work, and yeah, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome.
Paddy, am I allowed to add one very short final thing?
Sure.
Which is that the Drupalize Me audience will often, you know, be relatively new to Drupal and may not have been to a DrupalCon before, and I'd really encourage you to come along, because that's where the magic of the community happens, and the community is the magic of being part of Drupal. It's not just about downloading this fantastic, amazing software and building your really cool website with it. It's also about getting to know the people that have built it and being able to collaborate and give something back and feeling part of such an amazing community. I remember my first DrupalCon in Paris, and it was an absolutely brilliant experience. The amount I learned, the amount of people I met, And I've been back every time since. So do make the effort. It, you know, it may seem like trouble, it may seem like money, but it is worth it.
It is so worth it. It's, well, and frankly, like going to DrupalCon's changed, I mean, it changed my life, changed my career. I ended up getting hired at Lullabot because of that. Truth.
But good things happen too, Addy. Yes. No, that was a great, I mean, it's changed a lot of people's lives like that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that sounds like a really good note to end on. So thanks, Deep. Yeah, and thanks all of you guys. I really appreciate you guys coming on to share your thoughts and figuring out the schedule game. And we'll all just wait till bated breath until next Tuesday to find out what the schedule is. And I will definitely be seeing you guys in Amsterdam. I'm definitely looking forward to this. It's I love DrupalCon. I particularly love the European DrupalCons, I gotta say. I'm a little biased. So anyway, hopefully I will see everybody in Amsterdam until our next podcast. Have some fun Drupaling, folks.